Thank you, Sam Hull, for the lovely prayers that you led us in there. I don't think I've heard you pray or lead us publicly before, so thank you very much. It was a very beautifully put, and we just do all say together, Amen. Thank you. As we come to our lesson today, the passage from John chapter 12 that we've had read there, something similar occurs in Mark and Matthew, and I'm going to refer to a couple of their insights. They also note things that happened on that occasion, but also as some background. Sometimes when we read the scripture, we kind of wonder exactly what's happening on or why it's happening in this way. And one of the little details that I'd learned is that perfume probably came from India, and it was part of the interaction of buying and selling and so on, but the most expensive perfume. And perfumes were used to draw attention to people in anointing. And Psalm 45 is sort of a helpful psalm to give us just a little bit of background for today's understanding. And that is where the king is drawn attention to, really, for quite possibly a wedding, but his character people are pointing to here in the psalm. And often you'll see the first two verses written on the start of someone's book when they might write a book, and then they talk about their speaking and what they've just written. But coming down through it, you'll hear some details about how the king was set in the midst of the people. Psalm 45, my heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your glory and majesty. In your majesty, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and to defend the right. Let your right hand teach you dread deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your royal scepter is a scepter of equity. You love righteousness, and these are the verses I'd like us to think on. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honour. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. So there we have a little bit of a picture. I'll just leave it there of the king and his beauty. And if we could just think for a moment of people we've seen who are beautiful. I had a friend the other day who had worked most of his life in the South Australian Police Force, and he'd been involved in going various places on duty, and he said the most momentous, most beautiful person I ever saw was when Lady Di came to Australia. He said I was right up close, and her presence was just, and her beauty affected me. He did mention the other one, who's a bit of a contrast. He was also there when Bill Clinton visited, and he said Bill's kind of had a persona about him, and he came into the room and arena, and he affected everybody there. When we see Mary anointing Jesus with perfume, we see a woman who's usually been quiet. She's listened a lot to Jesus' teaching. She has been perhaps the most thoughtful. Remember in the earlier days, Martha, who was there, she was kind of making a lot of fuss about a meal and about Mary sitting and being still and listening. And of course, the other person mentioned is it's the most remarkable verse, really, that we should learn that here's the dinner in Jesus' honour. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at table with him. And Lazarus, he lives here. He's the one whom Jesus has raised from the dead. It's an incredible bunch gathered round there. One man who's already experienced death, been put in a tomb, been dead for 4 days, who people didn't want the tomb open for him because they said, it's going to stink if you open that tomb. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And out he came. And I love one of the verses in John's Gospel. It says, the dead man came out and took off all the wrappings around him. And so we have here these three. But Mary is now, with the focuses on her, just for a moment, she takes a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she pours it on Jesus' feet. Matthew and Mark help us see that was also on his head, and she wiped it with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This is part of the intent, is that this beautiful perfume should fill the whole house, and it should be a memorable moment. Is that perfume I mentioned called Unforgettable. It's one of these perfumes that's going to linger and stay with you, and every time you smell that smell, you're going to remember this occasion. And of course, the amount that she used is what really gets to the treasurer, the man who keeps the money, the man who's making out his noble, but in a few moments, in a flash, we see the contrast between his service and the contrast between Mary's. Hers is a devoted love, of course, Judas Iscariot is with intent on his own benefits and intent on a betrayal right there and then. The interesting fact then is that this beautiful perfume fills the room, and Mary is not drawing attention to herself. She's drawing attention not only to Jesus, but remember where this is in the midst of his life. It's 6 days before Passover, the last Passover that he will celebrate, and it is also a moment where we'll read, and I'll just give you the last few verses of John's conclusion before chapter 12 started. These are the verses that lead up to it. He says that the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know so that they might arrest him. So there's a heap of trouble brewing. They want Jesus arrested. He's raised this person from the grave. He's done mighty and wonderful things, but his ministry is coming up to a surrounding darkness. And at the end of the passage, we read this. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well. They've got death on their minds. Death of Jesus, or arrest at least, and then later his death. And they've got in mind to put Lazarus to death as well. And the reason, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. And then the very next section, we have Palm Sunday, which will be celebrated next week. It's this time of the year that the church concentrates and thinks about the approach of Jesus to Easter, to Good Friday, to that mighty resurrection. But as we see him coming into Jerusalem, as we see him preparing for that, this beautiful event takes place. What is its significance? Well, one of its significances is this. Jesus does something very beautiful for Mary when Judas Iscariot had said, oh, you know, this should have been given to the poor. He's a thief and he's really not intending to do that. He used to steal what was put in. Jesus said, and it's of Mary, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. Jesus has come into this world to justify your life, to put you at peace in your world, the world God's created for you to live in. He comes and he puts Mary's situation at peace when to her enemies, to those who are picking on her at this point, those who are critical of her, those who don't even have a clue what she's doing, and he says to them, leave her alone. She is worshipping, she is devoting these last precious hours, days with her Lord. She's listened. And Mark's gospel tells on three occasions Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and he is to be put to death and he is to die and on the third day is to rise again. And each time he said that, people just heard, oh no, he's going to die. But they never heard the hope, they never heard the purpose coming through till after when they reflected on it on the third day rise. But she has listened. She knows this purposeful death is impending, but she's got an inkling there's something grand and great and magnificent and sweet and beautiful and enduring and lasting about it. So she takes the perfume and she anoints the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. She anoints the most beautiful human being ever born to the human race. She draws attention with this expensive perfume, a year's worth, 300 denarii was around about a year's worth of wages. And she's saved that bit by bit by bit she's had, and they put away, often put away that perfume for burials. And she takes it all, and she doesn't use a bit. She is so extravagant. She is so pointing to the extravagant love that she knows of the Lord Jesus. We love because he first loved us. She is responding to the impression this man has made upon her entire life. She's listened carefully. It means a great deal to her. And so as she anoints him, in Mark's gospel, Jesus says here, leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. In Mark's gospel, we have these beautiful words, and these are what Jesus said on those occasions. She has done, this is the RSV translates it this way, she has done a beautiful thing to me. She's done a beautiful thing to me. So not only is she responding to that love, she is doing something for the Lord Jesus. When we have fellowship with someone, when we join with someone in life, it's not a one-way stream. It's a mutual two-way thing. But she's already entered in to that love. And she's got something on her mind. And what she's got on her mind is that this death is going to, in some way or another, be also a beautiful thing. This person is a beautiful thing. But she's caring for him in his sufferings. One of the most marvellous things that sometimes, you know, if we think of Jesus, we think, oh, he's the Son of God. He's got his act together. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't really need us. Lots of other people misunderstood him, but he is out there in front. He knows what he's doing. But this is indicating the humanness of Jesus. He is appreciating someone's deep love and entering into his sufferings. He is at his darkest hour about to come upon him, and he's got one person, this woman, and she loves him and she's with him in what he's doing. Friends, if you are with someone in their sufferings, you are doing a wonderful thing. We've already prayed. We've prayed for Karen, the congregation. Many friends and so on are with Karen. But whenever we suffer, to suffer just alone is a terrible thing, but it's a beautiful thing if someone enters into and shares with you in your sufferings. Jesus is recognizing this. The attention's upon him, but he's recognizing this in Mary. She's with him, and she is a companion. She doesn't have to suffer the crucifixion of the cross, not personally. No nails go into her hands. No nails go into her feet. But she enters into the pain, the darkness of the hour almost, as it were. She enters into that as a very lovely thing. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "She's done a very beautiful thing." Mary did something to point all of us today to the most important event. In a few weeks' time, we'll be celebrating. Firstly, we'll be celebrating the joy of this servant king coming in on Palm Sunday. But then on Good Friday, we will be thinking about this event, this crucifixion. And one of the things we must, I think, come to and learn eventually, however, is that for our sights, for what we're seeing, it's a terrible, horrible thing that happened that day. The Romans have taken him and have nailed him to a cross, and he's been put up there to suffer and bear our sins. But friends, this is a beautiful man, and this is an event of extraordinary beauty. On that day, he carried your sins up into his body on the tree, and he bore them in his body until they are no more. He entered into your suffering for sin, your sufferings that you bear because of the sin of the world, the sufferings that you bear in sorrow and every other thing. He entered into that, but he took from you something to release you into freedom, to give you beauty back in your life, and to enhance the beauty of the entire human race through the forgiveness of sins, not counting our trespasses against us, but taking them and bearing them himself. A great selection of song today, Hannah. Jesus, what a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful person. And here Mary has recognised this. The other thing that we can see from this day is that issues of suffering, of betrayal, of abuse of power, of love, all of those things are gathered around the cross of Christ. And here God deals with once and for all that's spoiling the human race. He comes, and this is a beautiful occasion. And part of our preparation, I guess, for Good Friday, and part of today's preparation, and Mary's helps us in this way, is to breathe in the fragrance, to anticipate the celebration of Easter as a great day, Good Friday. It's a good day, Good Friday, when God did something wonderful for the world. And even more magnificent is the day of resurrection, when we were assured that new life will forever flow into this world and recreate the world, the beginning of the new creation. So, friends, as our attention's drawn to that, let's do what Mary has done. Let's concentrate our thoughts on there for a time, and let's let the fragrance, the beauty, the sweetness of Jesus' death and what it means for the world come to us, and be at peace as you do that. As you do that, spend a couple of moments to read it and think it through, and Jesus justifies you and says, leave them alone. They are also giving attention to the most important of matters. Friends, may the Lord add his blessing to the word today. May you find places to share in Christ's ministry as you, alongside of someone, enter into their sufferings. Sometimes I have some people I listen to, someone particularly far away on the telephone, and I can't do much actually for them. I pray for them. And when I say not do much, that's doing a great thing. But I can't physically do anything about their situation. And you and I are still called to share, but what we can do is share in someone's sufferings. When someone suffered and they've had you as their friend at that point, they will not forget it. You are, and I are all called because Christ is sharing also in our sufferings. We're sharing in his. And it's all inevitably to overflow in the blessing of the new creation as it arrives. May the Lord add his blessing to the word today, shall we pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you have awakened the senses of many people through perfume. We thank you for awakening our senses through Mary's extravagant use of perfume. And we thank you that you call us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face, and to see in him the hope of the world. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for the finality of judgment there. And thank you that the gift of eternal life brings gladness to our hearts as that perfume points that way. Lord, bring gladness to all of our senses amidst our strife and battles. And if anyone here today is struggling with deep problems, we pray, Lord, that you would draw alongside of them and to be to them that beautiful one who rescues and redeems. So we thank you. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
All right, our last song for today is more of a celebration, a bit more upbeat after, you know, there's definitely some deeper things we need to go through leading up to Easter, but let's celebrate today. It's a great day to be living. Stand and sing with us as we sing Great Day.
But now they're open to you. This is a great day to be living for the cause of the gospel and his name. I found a new way, I'm forgiven by the power of Jesus' blood that was shed for me. Na 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 na. Took the chains away from me. You gave me faith to see the truth that draws me closer to you. This is a great day to be living for the cause of the gospel and his name. I found a new way, I'm forgiven by the power of Jesus' blood that was shed for me. This is a great day to be was shed for me. This is a great day. 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 This is a great day to be.
Would you please be seated just for a moment before we close off. Yesterday we went to the, Jen and myself went to Crystal Brook to the presbytery meeting, and while we were there we were treated really to a bit of sharing about what the difference the church has made to some people's lives. And did you want to say anything at all this morning? Another week, you will? One of the young women there said she was a very broken, very, very broken person. But someone over in South Australia kept sending her a text. It was someone her mother, I think, a friend had let him know that she was really suffering. And for a couple of years, a text was sent, just a phone text, to say we're praying for you and thinking of you. And she said she came out of absolute brokenness, crime, drugs, a life of wreckage, and she came to know the beauty of Christ. And she said the Lord drew her to South Australia, and she serves in the church at Kapunda. And she said, and the Lord also told me, you're going to go to that church, that Uniting Church there. And she thought, that boring church. Anyway, she went to that boring church, and she found that the Lord was present there. It wasn't boring at all. And she's got life booming out. But the one lovely thing she shared was that she said, I think many more broken people could benefit from what we know of Christ's love. She's known that personally. I just encourage you in the ministries we have to enter into people's sufferings in that way. Also, one other welcome I noticed here this morning with us, Reverend Dean Brooks, who's been the moderator, former moderator of South Australia, and wife Virginia. Welcome among us this morning. It's lovely to have you in the Clare Valley. And Dean used to be my evangelism teacher, so always lovely to see you. And I do remember one thing that stayed with me many times. You said, I give thanks to the Lord every day for my wife Virginia. And I thought, goodness me, I've got a lot of catching up to do. But it's a great pattern to set for us, so thank you for that. Friends, give thanks for one another. We're precious to